Len, Susio, good morning to you.
Good morning, Len.
Well, good morning to you, Brad and Gary. You make my day when I start out with you two guys, that's for sure.
You're the best. We really
you make ours.
We love having you on here each and every. Listen, you're only on every maybe 2 or 3 weeks with us, but we love it. We love it when you are. So, listen, you got a you submitted a FOIA, a Freedom of Information request, correct? It has to do with the you're submitting it to the Department of Transportation and to the governor.
Yes. Regarding the this Connecticut 2030 transportation plan that the governor has presented to the public. It's been promoted in the press as slick and as a big improvement over what the government's proposed up until now. More detail, more impressive, etc. I will grant you it's slick, but I don't think it's got any substance or very little substance to it at all. It's very superficial. It's another attempt to hoodwink the public into supporting tolls, and there's it actually creates more questions than answers, in my opinion. And as you said, Gary, I submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the governor's office and to the Department of Transportation with 13 questions that I have regarding the information in the CT 2030 proposal the government has put forward. And I'm very anxiously awaiting to see the response I get to those detailed questions I ask.
Yeah, I'm going to go into those questions in just a moment. I interviewed the governor last Friday on these very airways for probably close to 25 minutes. And, you know, one of the things that he had said was that he met with a lot of CEOs and executives in the state of Connecticut, and they're all on board. You know, we need to do this. What I find interesting are these are people who are making minimum $100,000 a year. Probably, actually, it's probably closer to $200,000 a year, or if not more, if not into the millions. By the way, it's too bad that he didn't say was I was talking to a lot of the rank and file members and blue collar workers, because he would get a completely different answer to his transportation infrastructure plan, the 2030 plan.
Yeah, when you're making six-figure or seven-figure sums of money, what's a few hundred bucks a year
right.
told to you, you know?
That's right.
You're going to get to work 20 minutes faster, and that's all you care about.
Yeah.
But the joke blue-collar and the middle class and the poor have, you know, that's a regressive tax, as you know. And it affects them disproportionately. And again, they'll have no choice because they commute to work every day and they'll have to go through many of these tolling points. By the way, Gary, I find it interesting. The business community leaders that you're referring to were cheerleading the governor on to come to some kind of a meeting of the minds with the legislature on what to do with transportation infrastructure. But they explicitly and specifically did not endorse the idea of tolls. Like the improved network. And when they were pressed, there was a news story on last night, and it was the Pratt & Whitney, I think, president, when he was pressed for, well, do you support tolls? He said, just read our press release. And the press release specifically did not say anything about tolls at all.
It talked
about addressing the infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure program, and that's it. And by the way, the governor has shown his prowess as always. He was in an interview with Dennis House over the weekend about it.
I saw that. Yeah, on Face the State.
I saw it too.
Yeah. Well, House asked him, you know, well, give us a couple examples. And one of the, you know, these areas are going to be improved. And he mentioned the Hartford Viaduct. The Hartford Viaduct is not in CT 2030 at all. I was shocked when I looked through it and couldn't find it. And I've been told by one of the reporters who covered the event, I asked him, I said, I don't see it anywhere in CT 2030. I looked everywhere on the website, and he said, it's not in it. It's not part of CT 2030. Yet the governor was on TV claiming it was. I don't think he knows what he's talking about half the time, unfortunately. I don't think he knows really what's in CT 2030, other than he's just you know, shaking hands and talking up the game. But he doesn't even know what's in his own plan.
The closest that they're in Hartford is the Charter Oak Bridge, on I-91. Charter Oak Bridge with improvements of about $300 to $330 million. And the next closest would be in West Hartford on I-84, which is replacing crossing over Berkshire Road at about right. $75 to $110 million.
Right.
So the, you're right. That that Mixmaster in Hartford where that what's it, the viaduct there, the 8491 interchange, yeah. Is not, you're right, it's not on this, it's not included in this 14 bridges.
That's right. And it's not anywhere at all in all the projects. They, you know, I did get very late last night. I got 11 pages of detailed documentation on all the projects that they expect to do in the next, between as far as CP 2030. And it's not in any of those projects either, Gary. So it's not just not one of the 14 tolling areas. It's not included anywhere in CT 2030, but the governor was on TV claiming it is.
Yeah,
you know, another one. This is something, and I just say to my partner, this is what it's all about. There's no question about it. He knows it. He plays it out there so that everybody that listens to us in the morning gets it. And I don't think. And I want your thoughts on this, that we're going to have to talk about it so much anymore, because people now, they realize that this is a game. This is a game. And we're not included in that game, but we're going to be.
Len, what are some of the questions that you bring up to the Transportation Committee the governor and the Department of Transportation?
Well, in my Freedom of Information Act request, I pointed out there's discrepancies between the numbers that they cite in CT 2030 that make up this $21 billion of spending mm-hmm. and what's on the DOT website and has been on the DOT website for the last few years. For example, the Waterbury Mixmaster that we've talked about before, that's in CT 2030 for a cost of $235 million to $260 million. But if you go to the DOT website and you look up specific projects, they signed a contract last year for $152.9 million. But they've got it on for $100 million more in CT 2030.
Oh,
if they have
yeah.
a contract that's been signed and the project's been started already. It's not like in the planning stage. It's actually underway right now. Hmm. And there's a huge disparity between what they're claiming in CT 2030 and what's on the DOT website. And that's not the only example of that. The Gold Star Bridge, the Charter Oak Bridge, Gary, that yeah. you were talking about. So I've asked them, well, explain this disparity. Why do you have in CT 2030 at inflated costs, costs that are far more than are what on the details on this DOT website prior to CT 2030 coming up? So I think what they're doing is they're engaging, they're doing everything they can to inflate spending so they can justify the need for a new revenue source, tolls. That's the game plan. That's the method to their madness, in my opinion.
You just hit a grand slam home run, my friend. You said it all.
Yeah. And I did ask more questions, too, about, well, a lot of these, there's no doubt a lot of these projects that they're talking about are qualified and may have already been approved for federal funding. In fact, the Middletown project, they explicitly say on the DOT website that 70 to 80% is going to be paid for by the feds. But they're talking about putting up tolls there. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute. I thought the whole idea of tolls was to pay for some of this stuff. But if the feds are going to pay for 75 to 80% of the projects in a given area, why are we putting up tolls? Are we even allowed to put up tolls if we're getting big federal grants for some of these areas? And if we are allowed to put up tolls, well, does the fact that the cost to Connecticut is only 20% of the project cost in those areas, does that mean the tolls will be torn down that much sooner or not?
Well, no. And I asked him last week a similar question, and it had to do with the 14 tolling gantries at these bridges, where would it sunset once it's paid off? I heard anywhere from 10 years to 20 years to 27 years. And I couldn't quite get an answer from him because theoretically, there will be 14 more bridges that are due at the, in other words, when we're done with these 14 bridges being worked on, it's like a cycle. There'll be 14 more bridges. And after those 14 bridges, there'll be 14 more bridges. So it's really never ending. It's never going to sunset. And by the way, I have never known the state of Connecticut to shut down a revenue stream. It's an addict.
Yes. The only time they ever did that was with the tolls, of course, back in
the 80s. Yeah, the brick and mortar tolls, yeah.
Yeah, they made a deal with the federal government by which they get hundreds of millions of dollars every year in federal money that they would not have been qualified for if they hadn't torn down the tolls. So there was a quid pro quo. There's a phrase.
Yeah, right.
And we risk federal money if we were to put up tolls unless we comply with federal law. And that's another question I had, because the commissioner was asked a question at the press conference last week about, well, is this congestion tolling or congestion pricing? And he explicitly said, no, it's not. Well, that was the exception to the federal regulations under which they were going to put up these 50 or 80 tolls, or, you know, these different scenarios that they put up. And he explicitly said, no, it's not congestion pricing. So I've asked him, well, under what exemption in the federal regulations will these tolls qualify and not disqualify the state from all the federal money that we have been getting heretofore? So as I say, there's many questions yet to be answered. And by the way, I want to make certain before we're done with the interview that I point out to your audience, I know the No Tolls Connecticut people are gathering today up at the state Senate, outside the Democratic Senate caucus room chambers, because the Democratic senators are meeting with the governor today. He's going to try and push them into voting for tolls. They have enough votes. If they all vote for it, they could pass it. That's the big danger. So I would encourage anyone in your audience who's got some time at 11 a.m. to show up at the state capitol outside the Senate chambers. As you look at the Senate chambers, to the right is the Democratic caucus room. Right. There will be no CT people there. Join them and make certain that the Democratic state senators and the governor himself is aware that the opposition to tolls is alive and well and will not go away.
Unreal. Unreal.
I don't know. We had Patrick Sasser on yesterday, and a question that I wanted to ask him, and we just ran out of time, was, you know, they've been saying that if you vote for tolls, you'll be voted out at the polls next year. But how do they plan on ousting these legislators who vote for tolls? Yeah. Is there a plan in place, and what is it?
I'm not privy to any specific plan. I know that they do intend to get involved next year in the elections. But see, a lot of these people, and Pat Sasser is a good example of it, they're just everyday citizens who aren't politicians by nature. So they're to be admired because they're doing this on their own time. They're not professional politicians. They're citizen activists. They're the example of what people can do when they care about what their government is doing and they get involved. Too many people today are cynical, understandably so. What can I do about this? You know, things are out of control. They're going to tax and spend our way to oblivion no matter what. Well, Pat Sasser and his group are to be commended because they have not given up the fight. They've determined that they're going to make a difference. And I can tell you, they have made a big difference. There's a core group of a dozen or so people involved. And of course, they have over 100,000 signatures. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to be meeting, I believe, early next year to talk about whatever their game plan is going to be for the elections next year. But I don't believe they have anything in place yet. I know they don't have a political action committee yet, as far as I know.
They need one. They need to get a PAC. Yeah.
Well, again, you have been tremendous. The people, God bless them. They are not giving up. And I'm telling you right now, they are going to be surprised. Some of these folks who are trying to push this through and try to get it over our heads, they ain't going to get it.
Go ahead, man.
The silver lining in the cloud is this shows you that when people get involved, they can make a difference. And it doesn't have to be a million people, a dozen or two dozen people, highly organized, highly active and dedicated, willing to put time in and mobilize and lead the rest of the population, can make a big difference. And I commend Pat Sasser and his group.
Yeah, and you know what? You brought up something really, really interesting that needs to be highlighted. You don't need to be an elected official, neither, because none of these people are. It's all grassroots. We need to get you back in office, Len. I mean that. You are sorely missed, and I hope that I wouldn't expect you to make any decision right now, but anything. But I hope you at least it's on the table for consideration. If we can just leave it at that, that would make a lot of people happy.
And I second the motion.
Well, I'm expecting a personal phone call from the governor today where he's going to give me the answers to all my questions, and I'll share it with your audience.
All right. No, I'm going to. That's great. No, we're going to hold that to you. We would love to hear that. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. As always, Len Susio, we really appreciate that. We got to get you back in office, and we'll talk to you with these answers down the road. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Today outside the Senate chambers, I encourage people to go there and send the message loud and clear. No tolls, not now, not ever.
Let's pack the place. Thanks so much.